Now to nail salons on the East Coast. I have Sarah Maslin near the New York Times with me. She's just finished an investigation into labor violations at nail salons in the New York area. Her report came out in today's paper. So what kind of abuse are we talking about, Sarah?
Well, the starting wage at a nail salon, I like to say, is negative $200. And what that means is workers are actually forced to pay a fee, can be up to $200, can be more, for their jobs. They have to pay for their jobs. And then they work typically for a couple weeks, maybe a month, unpaid until an arbitrary time when the owner of the salon decides they're worthy of being paid, and at which point they'll maybe make $30 a day.
As you point out in your article, a manicure is really inexpensive these days, and that comes back to bite the workers. They're the ones who shoulder the low rates with low pay. And you met several of them. Can you just describe what kind of lives they live? Some, I know, on no salary, others making this entry-level pay of 30 bucks a day.
Well, the manicure price actually in New York City, I found, is half the national average. It's $10 about, whereas the national average, according to Nails Magazine, an industry publication, is about $22. So that right there, in the most expensive city in America, where a latte is $4, you already understand that that's way too little to make. And someone bears the cost of that discount, and it's always the worker. And how that plays out in their lives is here they're sitting in salons holding hands with wealthy women and essentially staring in each other's eyes. And then they return back to homes, one bedroom split among 6 to 12 people, beds strewn about the living room, curtains for walls. And they eke out these sort of flop house bunk beds existence really in the very few hours they're not working.
So what is the New York State Labor Department doing about the nail salon abuses?
Well, I found in my investigation the answer to that is very little. It took me 9 months using a Freedom of Information law to get the database of enforcement actions that the Labor Department has done, and there were very, very few of nail salons, whereas they send inspectors into restaurants and even car washes to make sure there are no labor violations pretty regularly. And there are only a couple of inspectors who speak the languages these people speak. 5,000 salons, 80% Korean-owned, and there are only two inspectors in the Labor Department who speak Korean.
Mm. And it's interesting, your article was translated into three languages, Chinese, Korean, and Spanish. Is that typical for the Times? And if it's not, why take the step for this story?
No, it's not typical, but we are going in that direction. Part of the reason why this story had that three-part or four-language translation was because what I found was these women don't know their own story. They just work and work and work. They work 6 days, 7 days a week, and they don't know that their peers are also exploited. And in particularly the racism I found in the industry, where actually Hispanic workers are paid less than Chinese workers, who are paid less than Korean workers, who are seen as the most desirable. They don't know that's happening to them. They only know their individual stories. And so I thought the journalistic merit in telling these people their own story was very, very high.
Any reaction from the workers themselves now that they've seen the story and know it's happening to other people?
You know, they're hard at work. They're hard at work today. So maybe at the end of the day, I'll get something. But they don't have time to look up from the hands in front of them.
Sarah Maslin Neer reports about labor abuses in nail salons for the New York Times today and tomorrow. Sarah, thank you very much.
Thank you.